chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. And we have been going through the book of Genesis, and we'll continue going back to the book of Genesis soon. But this morning I was going to save this for our next Sunday because it deals a little bit with America and what's with our country. But I know it's 4th July is coming up, so I thought it would be good and appropriate this morning in Isaiah chapter number 6. We're going to start off with just one verse, and we'll look at a little bit more of the chapter as time goes along. Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the word of God says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." The message this morning is, what is your vision or your view of God? What is your view of God? You know, we talk so much about our country. Sometimes I think we confuse people about our goals and our objectives in preaching the Word of God. Don't get me wrong, I love being an American. I thank God I'm American. I thank the Lord that He allowed me to be born here in America, grow up here in America, to be able to serve here in America. But I am deeply concerned about our country. If I had a choice about being a citizen anywhere else in the world, or if I could have my choice where I wanted to be a citizen of, I would always choose America. But I think sometimes when we pray for things, sometimes we miss that we should not be praying for a political solution more than just the touch of God to come back on America. We need to return back to God here in America. You know, we must accomplish this not simply by what we say, but with an expectation of our faith. We must believe that God wants to intervene, and what is preached and what is taught about our country and about our God needs to line up with what we believe about the Bible. And I think one of the greatest concerns and the greatest problems that we have in the nation that we live in is there is a low view of God. Then the Bible says in chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, "The Lord was high and lifted up." See, a low view of God will never convict us of our sins. A low view of God will never motivate us to go out and work in His vineyard to tell people about Jesus Christ. And what people are missing and what churches are missing today is the right view or the right vision of who God really is. If we would only see Him high and lifted up as Isaiah did, we would be willing to serve as He has called us to serve. We would be willing to repent of our sins and see ourselves who we really truly are. So much is going on in America today in the name of God. But many times, these are people that have the wrong view of God. Many of these things should not even be happening. When we have the right view of God, we'll do everything else right. Sometimes when I read a sermon title from another preacher, no matter how big of a church he pastors, sometimes it belittles God. Some of the music that is played in the name of God today belittles God and His holiness. And what we really truly need to see, I think what our country needs to see, but our country is only going to see it through its churches and through believers, is the right view and vision of who God is. In Genesis 1:26, we're told that man was created in God's image. But in Romans chapter number 1, we're told that the man has tried to take God's image and change it. Listen to what these words say. "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." See, what's going on in the world and time that we live in today is people have the wrong view of who and what God is. The Bible says they change the glory of God, and Satan attacks this glory of God. Many people say that Satan attacks man, but his war is really, truly against God. It's always been against God. Think about back in the garden. He may have attacked Eve, but how did he attack Eve? He attacked Eve by trying to belittle who God was. And so often in the world and day and time we live in, people have the wrong view of who God is. Satan himself works this way in the idea that he tries to make himself into the angel of light. The Bible tells us God is light and in him is no darkness at all. but also tells us, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Bible tells us to beware, Satan himself can transform, appear as an angel of light. And we must be careful that we have the right vision of God. Because sometimes I think when people are worshiping God, in all reality, they're doing contrary to what God desires and worshiping the things of the devil. Well, think about it this way. I know some people are going to think I'm being a little bit hard this morning. But you know, if we're really, truly going to have revival, we need to hear the truth. And you know what? It's amazing that, you know, we pass by people all the time. We'll take Sundays. And you're here, so you can't feel too convicted about it because you're here. But we pass people. We know people who go to ball games and go to the beach or go hunting or do a myriad of other things on Sunday mornings. And sometimes you see how they live their lives, and you just want to, and sometimes I just like to stop and ask them, do you believe you're going to stand before God someday? Because I think a person that can take what's supposed to be God's day, the Lord's day, and do whatever they please with it, they have a low view of God. When someone does whatever they want with their bodies and does whatever they want with their times and does whatever they want with their lives, they have a low view of God and what God expects from them. Sometimes I just wonder if they're serving the same God. You would ask them the question, do you believe in God? Of course their answer would be yes. But do they truly believe in that God that is a consuming fire? A holy God. A thrice holy God. See, a man can be victorious in only one way, is that he lives consciously in the presence of God. But not just living in the presence of God, but seeing him high and lifted up. See, Elijah, how could he stand before Ahab, this great king that could have his life just in a second? How could he stand before him and tell Ahab his problems? How could he stand before all those prophets of Baal? It's because he wasn't standing in the presence of Ahab. He was standing in the presence of God. The difference that we see when Moses goes and speaks to the great Pharaoh, the mightiest man in all the earth, he wasn't standing in the presence of Pharaoh. He was standing in the presence of God. And Pharaoh is nothing but a lint on the pages of history compared to the greatness of God. So often we are so worried about what man thinks, but if we had the right vision of God, high and holy and lifted up, there would be much changes on how we worship and how we live our lives. Let's look for a few minutes at this vision here in chapter number 6 that Isaiah had. It says in chapter number 6, verse number 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had 6 wings, the twain he covered. Now I want you to get this. This is the created angelic being. 6 wings, with twain he covered his face. He didn't think he was worthy to see the glory of God. Twain he covered his feet in humility. He humbled himself, and with twain he did fly. And he cried unto another and said, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, see, Isaiah sees Christ, sees God high and lifted up. And what's his response? He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He knew that he was separated from God and that God is high and holy and lifted up, and he himself is nothing more than just an unclean man. It's wonderful. You see in verse number 6, it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The thing that was separating him from God, his sins are purged. Also, I've heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and unto who, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us today. God, we're in a great need today. Lord, our country is in great need. Our homes are in great need. Lord, I think people in this world today that we live in, especially in our country, have gotten their eyes off of who you really are and tried to make you into another form, a creature just like us. Help us to once again see a vision of you high and lifted up. Lord, help us to live a life viewing you this way. Lord, speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there is a lot in this passage of Scripture. We won't be able to cover it all, but I would like to take you back to Isaiah chapter number 1 to help you understand a little bit of where I'm going with this. Isaiah chapter number 1, Isaiah is referring to what's going on in the nation of Israel. And Israel is much like America back then. They were living whatever way they wanted. They knew of God. They knew about God, but they didn't care what God wanted. Many times they would perform rituals and do religious services. And religious exercise is not enough when you lost your vision of God. When you don't have the right view of God, you will not be able to worship God in the right way. You say, Pastor, we come, we sing the praises, we do this. But listen what it says in Isaiah chapter 1. Look what it says in verse number 2. It says, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished. You know, this is God speaking to the nation of Israel. And I think America, I know it's not today's Israel. I get that. Israel is here. Israel is still a part and is God's chosen people. But we have much to be thankful for how God began our nation. It says, For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Look what it says in verse number 3. What a wonderful satire. It helps us understand. It says, The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. He says, Even an animal knows who his owner is, but God's people doesn't even know who their master is. And Christians, that's what we are, servants of God. God is supposed to be our Lord. He's supposed to be our master. And he says, even an animal has enough common sense to know who his owner is. I have a little dog at my house. Her name's Chi-Chi. She's a little chihuahua. And to be honest with you, when I go out to the porch to call it in, it won't listen to me. I mean, I'll say, Chi-Chi, come on. And I'll even try to bribe it with a treat. And she won't come. My wife walks out the door and says, Come on, Chi-Chi, let's go. It comes running. See, that dog knows whose owner it is. It's my wife's dog. It's not my dog. It understands. It listens to the voice. He says, Pastor, you're calling us dogs. No, I'm not calling us dogs, but the Bible does say that we're sheep. The Bible says we're as sheep, and the idea that we have a shepherd and we'll know his voice. So we have to look at him as our Lord. We need him to lead us. We need him to guide us. We need his help. Here, let's keep on going. It says, All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They have gone away backward. See, in this chapter, I see so much of what we see happening here in America. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and purifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts have left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Now, this is where I want you to get. God is looking now at their religious activity, their religious service. He's saying, I don't understand why you even do this, because you have the wrong view of me. Look what it says, to what purpose is, he says, why in the world do you have your multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, and since incest is an abomination unto me, the new moons, the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts. My soul hateth, they are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when we make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murders. You read this and you see this. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of America, what America's doing in this passage of Scripture. And I can see a lot of people, what people do in the name of God in this Scripture. They come before God. They worship before God. They go through all the religious exercise, and God's saying, I don't hear that. He says, I don't even understand why you're interested. Say, Pastor, didn't God tell the nation of Israel to do all those things? Yes, but he told them above and foremost to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That was the first thing. The responses of the worship was from that. They had gotten so wicked and so evil that they began to play church and they did these religious services and religious exercises, and they meant nothing to God because they had the wrong vision of him. They did it out of obligation. They didn't do it out of love. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter number 6 now. See, we go and we talk about what America's biggest problem is today. If we went around the room, I bet you we would all have our own opinions. Some would say our biggest problem is our president. Some would say our biggest problem is the violence. Some would say the biggest problem in America is abortion. Some would say the biggest problem in America is, and I'm sure there'd be a long line, the debt, the lack of defense. But I believe the real problem in America today is the people of God that have the wrong vision of God. Has the world hurt our church, or has the church hurt our world? What are you talking about, Pastor? How can the church be the problem? If we have the wrong vision of God, we're not going to be able to do the work we need to do. We're the ones that have fallen and let the truth fall in the streets. We're the ones that have the truth and the Spirit of God. We are the ones that can make a difference in our country. But we have the wrong view, the wrong vision of God. We can listen to him one day a week. We can sing about him for an hour a week. We can come and hear about him for an hour. But our view of God isn't enough to get us up and move to do service. If you want to be the father God wants you to be, you need to make God the God he should be in your life. If you want to be the mother that God wants you to be, then you must have God in the place of your life where he's supposed to be. If I want to be the pastor that God desires for me to be, then the pastor the people deserve, then the Lord must have the proper place in my life he so richly deserves. This is not easy to hear, but if we're going to have revival, if we're going to have a true heart change, it comes at a high price personally. Our God is a consuming fire. What would it cost us personally to have God's blessing on our life? What would it cost for us to do God's will and to become obedient to God? See, we are ease. We are at ease in Zion. We are at ease in our Christian lives. We do not push forward. We do not try to win the loss. We do not try to serve him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. We have become so comfortable with our way of life that no longer do we have the right view of who God is. We do not live in ordinary times. It'd be foolish to say that we live in ordinary times, that we do not need a mighty moving of God. We see all the wickedness on the TV. We see all man does whatever it wants. We see that there is even terrorists that are no longer just in Arabic-speaking countries or Muslim worshipers of Allah, but instead they are trained in terrorist camps. They've integrated into our American society, and it's hard for us to detect who is really, truly for us and who is against us. We need God's help. We need to truly have a vision of God. In a world today that's so wicked, where do we find safety? We find safety with our vision of God. Point number one is the vision of God. And the most sobering thing I think about is meeting God with the truth that his people could have used to help bring revival to his nation. And we just didn't do it. As I back off from the White House and from the church house, I must look at my own house and sincerely ask this question: where is God in my life? And that's the question I want you to consider. What do I think about God? What kind of God do I see? What vision of God do I have? Do I have a vision of God being my buddy, the man upstairs, the guy who just turns his face to our sins, the God who's only there when I need him and when I want something from him? That is not the God that is mentioned in Isaiah chapter number 6. That is not the God that he desires for us to serve. He desires for us to see him high, holy, and lifted up. If we're going to be a people that God wants us to be, we must see him in his glory. Let's look real quick here once again in verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah, this is chapter 6 in Isaiah, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. As I mentioned earlier, you look at these seraphims, you see that it covered his face. He didn't believe he was worthy enough. Didn't believe he was worthy enough to look at the glory of God's face. And with 20, he covered his feet. He humbled himself to the point that he covered his feet in the presence of God. And 20, he did fly. He was doing what God had called him to do. But look at the worship. And he cried one unto another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the smoke filled with the... And the house was filled with smoke. And we don't have time to go through all this, but I want you to see that phrase that's found in verse number 1. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. God is sitting on his throne. We describe some things, and we didn't spend all day describing all the bad things about America. We could spend hours talking about all the problems we have. But what we want to see this morning is that God is still on the throne. A number of years ago, when those planes flew into the World Trade Towers and into the Pentagon in that field in Pennsylvania. You say, where was God? He was still sitting on the throne. He is God. He has never been moved by the trouble of this world. He has never been surprised by anything. And we need to see God high, holy, and lifted up, sitting on his throne. The reins of the universe are still in his hand. He is our God. You know, if the President of the United States would walk in this room, traditionally, what would happen is that we would all stand to our feet. Some may even applause. You might say, I'm not applauding the president we have today. That's your own choice. If Jesus Christ was walking this room, you know what we would do? We would fall flat on our face and worship of him. Does that sound like our church services today? I don't think so. Why is that? Why is it that people don't sing or people don't listen or people can fall asleep when the word of God is opened up? We have a low view of God. Why is it that people can glorify the flesh and make flippant statements, maybe not at our church, but at other churches, and it reveals their view of who God is. It reveals what they think of God. Is he truly high and holy and lifted up and sitting on the throne? Does his train fill the temple? Or do we just view him as someone who is not real and true? If we really want to make a difference and change in our life, we must see him. You know, these angelic beings, they flew. They were ready to serve God at his beckoning call. The God that we know and the God of the Bible, the God that's high and holy and lifted up, we should be ready to do whatever he asks us to do. Not out of guilt. Not only because of the fact Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, but because of who he is. He's God. He created us. He deserves our worship. He didn't die for those angels, but they are there ministering, crying out, "Holy, holy," to him all the time. If you have the right vision of God, you have already surrendered to do whatever he wants you to do. If you have not surrendered to do whatever God wants you to do, then you do not have the right vision of who God truly is. When you get the right vision, there will be no problem about surrendering. The lack of surrender is evidence that we do not have the right vision of God. What is your vision of God? See, this determines everything. Why am I going to come to church? Why am I going to love one another? Why am I going to tell someone else about Jesus Christ? It's because I have the right view of God. How you view God will determine how you live your Christian life. If things are not the way they should be, and you're convicted in your heart about it, then seek God's word for a greater vision of himself. If you're troubled about things, worried and fretting about your children, your circumstances, or about your job, do not deal with the job or with your children. Seek a greater vision of God, and God will give you peace to rest in him, and he will take care of you. He will take care of your job. He will take care of your children. He will take care of your circumstances. I speak from experience and the idea that I know I need a greater vision of God. The answer is not solving the problems and answering the questions. When you finally get to the place where you realize that no matter how powerful a person you may become, you cannot just force things to happen no matter how badly you want them to. You cannot make them happen. You just grow more and more anxious until the only answer comes to your mind is that you go deeper into the presence of God and get a higher vision of him lifted up on the throne. Seeing him on the throne finds you rest because you find rest in who God is. All of my life is determined by my vision of God. This may sound foolish to you, but the way that I dress, the way that I speak, the way I schedule should determine by how I view who God is. The emphasis of our ministry here is caused by what we believe in God and who he is. Every time I have trouble or something with something or some external thing or person and at moments of anxious fear, all I need to do is talk to the Lord. Enter into God's presence. Find help from him to enable me to deal with him. Whatever troubles you in your life today, get a better vision of God. See him on the throne. See that he is in control and see that he is worthy of your praise and your worship in your life. That's the vision of God. That was the main part of the message. There's two other quick things. Next thing is the vision of self. The vision is, if you have the right vision of God, guess what? You're going to have the right vision of self. You're going to see yourself as Isaiah did. Look what it says here when it comes to verse number 5. It says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You know what? Isaiah saw himself for who he was. Have you ever eaten at a dimly lit restaurant? And sometimes you're wondering what it is that you're eating. Sometimes you're wondering if it's even clean. Well, maybe most of us don't eat places like that. Have you ever picked up the couch, you know, where there's not much light at? You know what's underneath the couch usually? A bunch of dirt. How about when you remove the refrigerator out of there and you're going to go behind the refrigerator and you see all that dirt that's built up? So why in the world is the rest of the house clean and those places don't have, is not clean? No, it's not because your wife is lazy. It's because of the fact that light doesn't get back there very often. And when light is revealing, it reveals the dirt that's there. See what happens to Isaiah. He probably thinks he's pretty good. Isaiah is a prophet. He's done all these good things. God's used him already. He gets into the light of God and he sees how dirty he is. And he says, "I'm unclean. I'm dirty. Woe is me, for I am undone." The Bible speaks of how God is our light. And when we come into God's presence, we see ourselves and we see things about ourselves we have never seen. As a matter of fact, people talk about secret sins. It's not talking about sins that are committed in secret. Secret sins are the sins that are now hidden from us and will only be uncovered when we get the right view and we enter into the presence of God. Then God will begin to show us about our lives and what we need to confess to him. The Bible says, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I will dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You'll never see yourself as you should until you have the right view of God. And then when you have the right view of God, the light of God will reveal unto you all those sins that we've never thought were harming us. It all begins with God. Doesn't begin with you. It all begins on how you see God. Because of our shallow vision of God, we confess little petty things. We confess little things that we maybe not need to worry about. But when God grows greater and shows himself high and lifted up in our lives, we see the deep things in our lives. We get to the root of the matter. We see those things that have been hindering us from doing the work of God, and God wants us, what God wants us to be, and doing the things that God wants us to do. How we need the vision of God today. We need to get the right vision of ourselves. And that will only happen when we ourselves are in the presence of God. There is one other little phrase I want you to see when you see the vision of yourself. I think this is interesting. In verse number 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs of the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, thy sins purged. You know, Isaiah, when he saw himself, he said he was undone, he was sinful. There is no way he could get to God. And what that seraphim did, he took that coal off the altar. And what is the altar? As a representation of the fact where something gets sacrificed. And that coal, when he touched his lips, his sins were purged. He now has fellowship with God. And that altar represents what Jesus Christ did for us. When he died for us, he shed his blood on the altar. We were separated from God. We are never going to become a Christian. We've never been saved if we have not seen ourselves as sinners and in need of a Savior. When we had a right view of God, we saw ourselves that we were lost, we were without God, and we cried out to God, asking God to save us from our sins. The Bible says, and he laid upon my mouth, and lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquities taken away, and thy sins purged. He reminds us of 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The altar, that burning coal, the place of sacrifice, is Christ and what he did when he bore our sin debt. He who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness. Amen. See, until we have a high and holy, lifted up view of God sitting on his throne, we'll never realize we need to be separated. We'll always think that God could care less what we do. We'll always think God is just our buddy, that we're just good pals, and that he's just like the man upstairs. People make jokes about God. It's because they don't have the right view of God. People run around with a little vision of God, and man does not see God high and holy lifted up. He doesn't think he should obey him. That's why we have this world that we live in today. That's why we have people that go from church to church looking for what they want to hear, instead of what the Bible has to say. Because they have the wrong view of God. They have a wrong view of his word. They don't think they need to listen to it. Third thing, and we'll finish with this. Not only is it the vision of God and the vision of ourselves, we have a vision of service. You know, Isaiah here, he sees himself as wicked. He sees himself as undone. He sees how God has made him clean. In verse number 8, he comes, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will I go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah saying, after I see God high and lifted up, and after I see myself, and if God wants me to do anything, I'm signing up to do it, because it's God asking me. It's God high and lifted up asking me, sinful and undone, to do something for him. Nothing is too much. See, you may go to church, but if you don't go to church because you see him high and lifted up and holy, you're really going for yourself. You go for yourself, and when you get offended, you stop going. You speak for yourself, but when someone does not appreciate you, you're finished. You serve in a church, but if you do it for yourself, when somebody doesn't recognize your service, you're finished. But when you have met God and do what you do for God and God's approval, you know God has sent you and that you're serving God and God has placed you there, it's a different matter entirely. You're not coming to church for someone else. You're coming because you see him high and lifted up, and he's instituted church and he's given us and called us to a place. I've been in the ministry, not for a long time, but it's been a little bit over 11 years. It was 11 years this past Wednesday since me and my wife came here to Faith Baptist Church. And I can tell you that either you're going to serve God for him or for someone else. Unfortunately, there's been times when I served the Lord for myself or for others. I didn't have the right vision or view of God at times. But we must learn, if we get the right view of God and we view because we love him and we want to serve him, we're not going to try to make people happy, because you're not always going to make people happy. If you do it for him, you're going to do it to get him to accept you. You're not going to be able to get him to, you're not going to be able to get him to accept you. You're not going to get him to be able to love you anymore. You're not going to be able to get God to like you anymore You're just doing what he has called you to do because you love him. You want to praise him because you want to serve him because he is high and lifted up. Just like the seraphims, they are ready to serve, to move at God's beckoning. We that know God, the God of the Bible, the God who is high and holy and lifted up, should be ready to do whatever he asks us to do because of who he is. You do not have to ask yourself whether or not you should do what God asks you to do. If you have the right vision of God, there is no choice. Surrender is not a problem. It's just viewing God the right way. I know this morning's message might have been a little bit different, but I honestly think that the problem that we have in the world today is too many Christians have been pointing the fingers at everybody else instead of ourselves and saying, do I have the right view of God? Am I really, truly looking at God and saying, God, I know what your word says, but I'm going to do this. Am I rebelling against God? Think about it. We're going to be talking probably about the Tower of Babel next week or maybe the week after that. These men were told to go out and to replenish the earth. They were told to go out, and instead they said, hey, look, let's build a tower. I know God doesn't want me to build a tower. I'm just going to do things the way I want to. I think that's the way America has become. I know what God desires. I know what God wants, but I'm going to just build this my life whatever way I want to. We have a low view of God. What's your view of God today? We went through a lot of things, said some pretty pointed things this morning, but here's the question is, how do you view him today? Is he really Lord and Master? Do you really feel a need to obey him? I was looking at some surveys. I read a survey back in from 1991. 13% of the people in America said, I think the Ten Commandments should be followed today. 13% said Ten Commandments are relevant for today, and they should be followed today. That is man doing what they want, picking and choosing whether or not they should serve God. They have a low view of God. This is not about standards. This is not about what's right and what's wrong. It begins with our view of God, and as we see him high and holy and lifted up, we'll look at other things. The light of God will reveal things to our lives, and we'll say, I can't believe I was fooled by that angel of light that convinced me this was okay, that convinced me it was okay not to be a witness, that convinced me it's okay not to give, convinced me it's okay to have bitterness, it's convinced me that it's okay to live with hatred, it's convinced me it's okay for me to be angry, it's convinced me I can do this, this, and this without it ever convicting me. It's because we have not let God's light shone in our lives. This morning, if you got a sin problem, our problem is not as much with us is that we don't have the right view of God. Because as we have the right view of God, we will fall flat on our face and say, Lord, here am I, send me. I'm undone, I'm unclean. And then we'll see the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. And we'll realize that God wants to use us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.